Hi, I'm Leola. I'm a sacred intimacy mentor and muse and the host of this podcast. Talk Tantra to Me introduces a playful perspective on sacred sexuality. My intention in this podcast is to integrate intimacy and spirituality, empowering you to reclaim your eroticism. It is my mission to inspire you to let go of shame, fear, and limiting beliefs to be present as your highest self in every moment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, let's talk Tantra. Hello, lovers. I am so blessed and honored to be in a position to share, you know, tools and tips and tricks that have the potential to heal and to bring you to a place of full sexual embodiment. And one of the tools that I absolutely love and have been using for the better part of a decade are crystal yoni products, including pleasure wands and yoni eggs. And I was so excited to recently come across a brand called Wands, W-A-A-N-D-S. I met the founder here in Austin and I absolutely loved who she was. I love getting to know the people behind the products that I like to use. And I just loved her mission to really support women and men to explore, celebrate, and honor their sexuality. I felt this transmission of slow sensual seduction in all of who she was and all that she brought to the world. So I went ahead and gave it a try. I purchased a blue quartz amarita wand, and the amarita wand is great because it has this like a cool bulby end on it, which is designed for G-spot and cervical stimulation, but can also be used for prostate stimulation. So it's great for men and women and can even be used between partners. So I'm so honored to have built this relationship with her and to be able to offer you guys an amazing discount code. So if you use the code Leola, L-E-O-L-A, that will give you 15% off all products. And the website is wands.com, W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And we'll go ahead and link that in the show notes as well for you. So thank you so much for listening. And also you're welcome for the inevitable pleasure and healing and ecstasy that is coming your way with these products. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome to Talk Tantra to Me. It is such an honor to be holding space for this divine knowledge to make its way into your ears and lifestyle. Today, I'm going to be talking about something that I am so, so passionate about. And I'm sure there's so many listening that love this topic as well or wish they could do this thing more. And that is making love to the land or traveling. And you don't have to travel to make love to the land. And I'll share a little bit more about what this actually means to me throughout the episode. But this feels like an auspicious time to be sharing this story because I just got back from a trip in which I was making love to the land. And I just booked another trip in which I will be making love to the land. And I am launching an experience in a place in that has asked me to bring more people to make love to the land. So I just came back from Joshua Tree. I was in Joshua Tree, California, which is a beautiful, sacred, powerful place. It's known for being this like vortex of energy, this place where there's super common sightings of UFOs and alien landings. And for me personally, this was my fourth visit. My first visit was in 2018, I believe. So four visits in the last 5 years. In 2018, I was there visiting a man who just really couldn't receive me. But being in his energy, he was a very abundant person, really activated me and brought me to a new level of awareness and actually inspired me to move to LA later that year to really find my passion and purpose. It was in LA that I started doing tantra work professionally. And yeah, so there was that visit. Then I went back a couple of years later, at the end, I believe, of 2020. Yeah, it was at the end of 2020, so the year of the pandemic, for my birthday. And it was like my first time really like owning and celebrating myself in that way. And I booked out this like really like rustic, affordable cottage for myself and all of my friends. And we spent a few days out there. And it was on that trip was the first time I had a heartgasm, and it was just really powerful for me. And then I went back again about a year ago to do a private retreat for a couple, which was very fun. And it was on that trip that I birthed this like idea to do friend retreats. And it was on those that one of those friend retreats that I ended up connecting with Andrew and falling in love. So there was like a little nugget of it there that I took from the land and brought back. I remember being in this ceremony with this couple and being like, this is so powerful. And I'm so grateful that I get to do this as my work. And I want to experience this. And I want to experience this with my friends. And can I create something for my friends? And then about 2 months later, I hosted something similar, but in Austin. And then my most recent visit was just last week. It was actually a week ago today. I was in Joshua Tree again on a private retreat, a one-on-one this time. The last time it was with a couple, this time it was with a single individual. And when I'm organizing these private retreats, it's not just about the place that we're going. It's not just about the tantra magic as well, because there's lots of magic and ritual. But I also include other experiences that are powerful and transformative and higher in local healers, which is great because my clients get to experience them. And so do I. So one of the things that we did was we went and we visited a psychic clairvoyant, and she also read tarot. And one of the first things that she said to me was, the land wants to speak through you. The land, you have a very deep connection to the earth, to land. I see you traveling and speaking for the land. And I was like, yep, that's true. And it was interesting because it was that day that I finally finalized the details for this priestess pilgrimage, which I'll be talking about later. And it was also on that day that I booked my next solo trip to Vienna, which I will be sharing more with you about as well later in the episode. But yeah, there's this piece of me that is like very connected to the land and is activated by the land. And it's interesting because Andrew and I talk about the topic of travel a lot, and he's not much of a traveler. He prefers to be at home. And I used to travel, and the reason why he says he doesn't love travel is because he says, I love my home so much. Why would I leave? Why would I get all like stressed out about all the logistics when I love the life that I've created? And his perspective is that so many people travel to escape their life. They need this vacation from their life. And his philosophy is, I want to create a life that I don't need a vacation from. Which I've done as well. I fucking love my life and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. And I see the power of traveling to a place, receiving an activation from the land, and also giving my energy to the land as well in ceremony, in prayer, etc. And that's what it's really been for me. In my early 20s, a lot of travel for me was in that sense of like escapism and proving my hyper independence and just searching for the next thrill because I couldn't find that thrill within myself, let alone that peace within myself. And over time, the more I've adopted a tantric lifestyle and I've created a life that is built upon a like value of expansion and liberation, the less I've needed to go chase that elsewhere. And the more picky I've become about where and when I'll travel to. I even think about a year ago or so, I was traveling like twice a month about on average. And most of those trips were for like work things that I wasn't like so excited about. And this looked like a lot of like driving to Houston or driving to Dallas for a session or flying to Florida to a boring place that I really had no interest in going to, other than the fact that I, you know, would do some work there. It was a lot of just like rushing. And it was actually really dysregulating for my nervous system. And I started to restructure my life to be more supportive to that, and to also travel really intentionally when I felt called and when it felt in alignment and right and true for me. And so this year, for pretty much the majority of the year, it has been just those kinds of trips. And I'm really grateful to be in that place. So I also just booked this trip to Vienna, and it's interesting because, and Paris, I'll be flying into Paris and I'll be going to Vienna as well. But I was really feeling this pull towards Vienna. And it's interesting, maybe some of you guys will resonate with this. I've had this pull in the past many times. I had a pull to Egypt. I had a pull to Petra in Jordan. I had a pull to Scotland. And with each of these pulls, I was like, okay, there's something in my intuition that is activating, that is calling me to this land that wants to be seen and validated. And it's interesting because I was feeling this pull towards Vienna, and I didn't know why. It's not some place where I have ancestry. I think it's beautiful. I was also feeling like with Christmas might be nice to see the Christmas markets. I don't know. I've never been. But I was like, I don't really have that sacred. At first I was like, I don't have like a pilgrim. Like I'm really saving my trips for like, oh, I'm doing this retreat, or I'm doing this pilgrimage, or I'm going to honor my ancestor or something like that. But I couldn't get Vienna out of my head. And I had this like reset moment where I was like, I'm still feeling it. I'm going to feel it. And I keep feeling the yes. Okay. I'm going to trust the yes. And I went ahead and booked it. I found some really great affordable flights to Paris, and it's from Paris, it's really easy to get to Vienna. So I pulled the trigger. And the next week I opened this book called The Chalice and the Blade. And one of the first things that it's like one of, I wish I had the book with me. I know where it's at, so I'm going to go get it. This is the book, The Chalice and the Blade. And someone had recommended it to me as almost like a kind of like part of a book club sort of thing. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I don't know if I'll do the book club, but I'm going to get the book. So I did. And it was a couple of days after I booked the trip. I actually had this in my backpack when I booked the trip, not knowing that when I would open the book to the very first page, it would address, hold on, unearthed in excavations over a wide geographical area, blah, 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 blah. They're talking about these Venus figures, these ones. And they said, all the way west to Willendorf near Vienna, these figurines have been described by some scholars as expressions of male eroticism. To other scholars, they are only something used in primitive, presumably obscene fertility rites. But what is the actual significance of these ancient sculptures? Can they really be dismissed as the products of unregenerated male imagination? Is Venus even appropriate to describe these figures? Or do these prehistoric sculptures tell something important about ourselves, about how both women and men once venerated the life-giving powers of the universe? Wow, interesting. On the very first page of this brand new book that I started reading a couple of days after I booked the trip, there's this, like, Vienna is not, you know, a big like place that many people hear about or want to travel to. It's not necessarily on the touristic track. And is it just a coincidence that literally the next day I would come across this reference to this sacred site near Vienna where this sculpture has been found? I find that really interesting. So the point of me sharing this is just to kind of highlight this like trusting of oneself when you hear that sacred yes, when you feel called to a land, there's probably something there for you to be activated. And I've traveled now to nearly 50 countries by January 2024, which is in a few months, it will be over 50. And there's been these spiritual awakenings at different parts of the journey. And some of them, most of the places I visit have not been organized by someone else. It was kind of just like I felt called and I went, or I went and I was like, oh, wow, something, there's some powerful energy here for me. I'm feeling like this is a soul home in a way. And there's just so fucking many that I could go into depth on. And some were more organized. I did a pilgrimage to Egypt, which was organized by Sarah Jane Perman. And that one was very activating. I felt my third eye open, like wide, almost to the point that it freaked me out, because I started seeing and feeling things that I had never experienced before and that were beyond what would be considered normal in the human experience. It actually scared me. I also got some intuitive nudges about stepping into birth work, which I've started to do because of the activations that I had at the temples there. Another organized one I went on, I did an ISTA in Ireland, and they do ISTAs all over the place. But being in that specific land was very powerful for me because, so I went to Ireland first. Ireland was actually the second country I ever went to when I was 20. I was 20 and I was studying abroad there. So I flew into London and then I flew to Ireland. So it was technically my second country. And it was kind of like a birth for me. It was a birth of my traveling. It was a birth of my spiritual journey. That was when I was in Ireland, I first read Conversations with God. And that really opened things up for me. So to go back there and to do another retreat, and I did a ISTA level 2 there, which ISTA level 2, a big theme of that container is death. And so it was interesting to have had my spiritual birth there and then go there to die and then to be reborn. And yeah, so I had a few more organized experiences. And then I had lots that were not organized. It was in India and Nepal that I really decided to go all in on tantra work, that I felt really called to that purpose and to fully commit to it. South Africa has been a big expander for me. I've spent probably like 9 or 10 months in total in South Africa over the years. The land is very powerful for me there. I had my Kundalini awakening in Morocco on the coast. Mary Magdalene visited me there and guided me for several months after that, and then left me in LA. In Scotland, I had, you know, this experience with the Rosary Chapel, which is where it's believed that, you know, that Mary Magdalene's actually laid to rest. Maybe that she went up there. Either way, it's definitely deeply encoded with this energy of love. And I had this experience with the land there where I had a microcosmic orbit, which is, if you hear about microcosmic orbit in Tantra, you're usually doing that with a partner or with the universe. It's basically you're cycling energy, you're cycling life force energy between yourself and another being. And usually you're doing it with your partner. I've done it with the universe as well. And I've also learned to do it with other energies like trees. And in this case, I was actually doing it with the chapel. And the love was so intense that I was getting in this exchange with the land that I actually shut down. And I had this moment where I disassociated from the experience and realized, like, my big lesson of that land was, where else am I disassociating from receiving pleasure and joy and love because it's so overwhelming and I'm too scared of it? I'm scared of the possibility of opening to that and then it being gone and not having that feeling again. So I'll just not even feel it at all. And so that was a really big lesson for me. There's so many stories. And honestly, each of my travels could have their own podcast episode. And there's so much in the sacredness of having it all in my body and all in my unique perspective that will never, ever, ever grace this earth again. And it's also something that I feel really passionate about sharing with people. And you know, one of my dream jobs that I never thought that I could ever do was becoming a travel agent. I love travel. I love organizing trips for people. Some of you guys might even be listening in from like my early days. I used to be a digital nomad actually from about 2017 to 2019, those like 2.5-3 years, I was mostly nomadic, living in Europe and Mexico and Morocco and scattered about a bit. And at the time, I had like a travel blog and I wasn't making anything from it. It was just something that I liked to do for fun. And so anytime I'd go anywhere, I'd write like, here's the things to do and see. And I'd upload photos and they were artistic and pretty and made me so happy. And I actually miss doing that. My energy, my creative energy that used to go to that is now so much more involved in this, the podcast and Talk Tantra to Me, the brand and writing a book and all those other things. But I do really miss writing and traveling and writing about my travels as well. My dream job at one point was to like write for Condé Nast or something like that. But in the end, I get to do it all. And so when I pivoted into this work that, you know, kind of took the back burner and I was still traveling, but I stopped writing about it. But I would organize little things for my friends. And obviously I'd have these private one-on-one retreats and other little retreats. And my most recent pilgrim was to Israel and to Jordan. So in the Middle East. And for about a year before I actually booked the trip, I was feeling this pull to Petra specifically. Petra is this beautiful, gorgeous, sacred land in Jordan. It's also known as the Pink City. It's really special because basically they have it's famous for its like rock cut out architecture. Like, so like the land itself is all built out of the rock in the desert. And so when you enter Petra itself, the entryway is like it's like basically like a big chunk of rock with an earthquake split apart and opened. And so you walk through these two giant cliff sides. And it feels kind of like you're walking through, because it's pink and red rock, it feels like you're walking through like a birth canal. And so you go through this rose rock, and then right at the opening of the rock, there's the treasury. And the treasury is this immaculately carved city. Just like in the cliff, like it's insane. Like it's not like they added anything, like they just carved it out. And it's got carvings of Isis, who is the sex magic goddess of Egypt, and pillars and columns and all of this like beauty and like abundance codes, because it's the treasury and it's just like incredible. It's so incredible. And that's just the beginning. That's just like right when you get in. And then there's all these other monuments and places, which I'll get into a little bit more. But the land itself and the city itself dates back to about 300 BC. So this is like right up to Jesus's birth and like, you know, 300 years before. So it's like right around this really powerful time in the world as well. And I'd been feeling called to Petra itself for about a year. And I also have been wanting to go to Israel for a long time, and they're right next to each other. So I thought, wow, well, that'll be great. I can go to Israel and see Jerusalem and do all of that. And then I can take a little tour over to Egypt, or I'm sorry, over to Petra, to Jordan. And so excited about this. And I had had such a powerful experience with my pilgrimage going to Egypt with a beautiful priestess that I thought, oh, well, there's got to be a priestess for Petra. Let me see what I can find. Let me do some digging. So I was researching far and wide, trying to find something, anything that was this priestess pilgrimage to Petra. And wanted to just have a really sacred experience and wanted to go with a guide that really got that essence of the land. And I couldn't find anyone. I couldn't find anyone doing it. I was asking around, I was researching. There's no one doing it. There's people doing pilgrimages in France, and there's people doing pilgrimages in the UK and in Egypt and in the Mayan regions in Latin America and South America, but I couldn't find in Peru, but I couldn't find anything going to Petra that was like a specific spiritual pilgrimage. I thought, well, that's so weird. All right, well, I'm going to do my best to like prepare myself, and I'll just book a normal sort of tour situation. They say you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And this is something that I really, really resonate with. And as I've invested in living a tantric lifestyle, my relationships have evolved and become so much more juicy and liberating. And I believe that this is something that everyone deserves. However, finding these people can be a little bit challenging at first. And so it is my mission to create more spaces for people to find individuals that are resonant with a tantric lifestyle, that are really resonant with you, the listener, the person who is investing their time into living a life that is expansive and liberating. So with that, I'm committed to creating more and more safe spaces for people to discover their desires and practice their boundaries, to connect in community, to celebrate and to grow together so that we can all step into a more authentic version of ourselves and experience truly unconditional love. So we have Tantra retreats for men, women, couples, singles. We also have female-only retreats just for the ladies stepping into their divine feminine. We have play parties. We have Tantra workshops, Tantra yoga, women's circles. We've got all kinds of really powerful in-person events. You can find all the details at www.talktantratome.com/events. You can also just go to talktantratome.com and click the events tab to find out about all the latest and the greatest. And if you're wanting me all to yourself, I can't blame you. I also host private retreats for both individuals and couples. Those are one-on-one. You get me all to yourself, and I'm available for private Tantra workshops and performances. And this is great for events like your birthday or maybe a bachelorette party or bachelor weekend. We can talk and create something that will be extra special just for you. So I cannot wait to connect with you in real life. But for now, thanks so much for your patience with this brief interruption, and let's get back to the episode. So I got a book called Conversations with Goddess, which is about a woman's transmission in Petra and after Petra, what came through from the land for her. And I did a lot of other research, and I also just decided to feel what would happen when I arrived on the land. And I want to say that leading up to this trip, I was going through a really, really hard time. My dog, who I've talked about on this podcast a little bit, about my relationship to my beloved Stuart, who has also traveled with me all over the world. He's been with me to Paris and Greece and Mexico and all over. And he passed like a week before I left. And it was one of those things where it was like my first time traveling actually without him in my mind and alive in my life. And it was also really magical because I kind of tend to go into story after story on this podcast because I get excited about where it's pulling me. But I'll just say there was a really epic connection to Stuart and the land of Tel Aviv and Israel itself. And I actually got a ring to commemorate him there, which is a rainbow gold ring that I have on my finger, on my middle finger. And they say, do you put things on your middle finger that you want to last forever? But anyways, so the point the reason that I'm sharing this part of the story is to set the context that, like, I arrived in Israel and I was bawling my eyes out. Like, I was crying myself to sleep. I was missing my fiance at the time. I was missing my dog. I was feeling so disconnected, so in my death. I was so in my winter. I was so in my, But I had a couple of days in Tel Aviv before we went to Petra, and I took my little brother on this trip, by the way. So that's when I say us, it was me and my little brother. And that first day in Israel, I remember I took this sacred bath and I went to a spa and I did a hammam, and I felt like I was letting it all go and getting cleansed and getting prepared for my pilgrimage like a queen. And then I arrived, then we took the trip and we went straight to Petra from there. And it was like someone electrocuted me in a beautiful way. It was like the life got zapped back into me when I went. Being there was rejuvenating. It was life-giving. And it's one of those things that it's so hard to put into words and something that just gets to be felt. But the energy of Petra itself is very much this birth, death, and sex energy. And to me, that's my holy trinity, birth, sex, and death. And that's been my journey over the last couple of years. I talk about on this podcast and even in this podcast episode, I've mentioned going to to Ireland to have this intentional death. I did a sacred hunting trip where I harvested an animal for the purpose of understanding death as a part of this experience. When I talk about tantra and shamanic sexuality, to me, it's this innate understanding that there's a spiritual world, there's a physical world, and there's an energy that connects them that is this life force. And the portal between the worlds is birth and death. And the initiator of birth and death is sex. You cannot have sex without death. You cannot have birth without sex. They're all interlinked very tightly and beautifully. And it's all of these topics that tend to be the most polarizing and crunchy and hard for our society to understand and wrap their minds around. I mean, death in itself, we, you know, grieve intensely and for good reason, and we fear death so intensely. Birth, we've been so disconnected from the like traditional elements of birth. We numb ourselves out. We hide birth behind closed doors and air-conditioned rooms. Like, even the woman can't really see what is happening in her body. She's positioned in a way so that the doctor can see what's happening and not her. We've disconnected ourselves from birth. And then sex, obviously, is such a big one on this podcast and in life in general. We've been conditioned to fear this energy that is actually our greatest power. It is the energy that brought us into this world. And so to go to a land like Petra and feel into these three energies all at once simultaneously is incredible. And so, as I mentioned, when you enter the place, it's like you're walking through this birth canal, but then throughout the land. So basically, Petra isn't just the treasury. It's like you go through this gorgeous basin surrounded by mountains, and then you enter and you see the treasury. And then there's all of these little caves. And a lot of the caves are actually tombs, and they're sacred tombs, and they're tombs to kings and to goddesses and to priestesses and priests. And they're incredible and they're beautiful. And then you also have the high place of sacrifice. And so the high place of sacrifice is exactly what it sounds like. It's this you hike up really high to the highest place in the land, and there's an altar where they ritualistically sacrificed young individuals, mostly women, but also couples. There would be like rites, like sex rites, and then they would kill the young individuals as a part of a sacrifice. There was also an urn-like place where the blood, you could see the blood would pour out and be released back into the earth. And wow. And I'll get into that a little bit more here in a moment. And then you have all of these other like special monuments. And the one that was one of the most activating
for me was this lion triselinium, which is really tucked away. It's kind of like off the main path, but the entry is shaped like a key, which has its own sort of medicine and metaphoric nature. And then it's flanked by lions. That's why it's called the lion triselinium. And my name Leola means lions. I have a strong connection to the energy of the lion. The lion isn't just this like powerful, aggressive creature. She's also very down to earth and very nurturing and also very protective of her pride and her tribe. And I really resonate with that. Like, I will protect the people I love more than anything. And the things that I believe in, this sort of passion is the lion. And then above the keyhole is the goddess Medusa, who also really calls on us to reclaim our power and celebrate our divine feminine gifts. Medusa is this gorgeous goddess who was so, so beautiful and was cursed for her beauty. And there's a whole gorgeous myth on that. But to me, Medusa really, and all of Petra in of itself, is really asking us to reclaim our divine feminine power and to be in it, to be embodied in it fully and not be afraid of it anymore, and to use it as divine medicine for the land. So that's incredible. And while I was there, it was like I was just channeling. Ideas were coming through for business and for life and for work. And I was writing. I was just writing. It was like someone clicked the reset button for me. And I remember coming home from this trip, and this is just one part, Petra. I also went to all these other places, which I'll talk more about. But I have this photo of me in front of the lion triselinium. And I had it as the background of my phone for a long time because it really represented to me this energy that I didn't want to forget, this power that I had, this connection to spirit, my ability to birth, not just humans, but love and ideas and things that are meant to make the world a better place, to be source. So that was my experience with Petra. And as I was there, I started to get the nudge of like, all right, girl, we're giving you the codes and we appreciate your presence here. And you get to come back. You get to come back and you get to bring more women into this, to feel this, to honor this, to seed this, to reactivate this sacred space with sacred energy. There's a reason why no one is hosting pilgrimages to Petra right now. And it needs it. We need this. This is a place of power. This is a place to reclaim your power. And again, I highly recommend the book Conversation with Goddess to feel into this energy, because she speaks into it in such a poetic way. And it's very much a mirror of my own experience, this land. So basically, the land told me that I was to come back and to bring a group of women. And that's really intense, and that's really big, and that's quite the undertaking. And I'm very excited to be in a place where I'm committed to making that happen. So while I was on the trip itself, I started writing out the itinerary that I would have and the lessons and the rituals we would do in each of the places. And I'll share them with you now. So, and I want to say again that what I'm about to share with you, this priestess pilgrimage to Israel and Jordan and Petra, there's nothing else like it. As I mentioned, I searched everywhere to find a spiritual guide for this land, and I couldn't find one that was actively taking people. I ended up connecting to guides. I ended up finding the resources that supported me, and I ended up becoming the channel myself on the land. I really wanted an itinerary, which I felt honored the divine feminine that is so obviously encoded in these places, but I couldn't find it. So I made it. I made it happen for myself, and now I'm here bringing you in into her mysteries, into her darkness, into her womb, to be reborn into this greatness, and also to bring your energy as a woman. And I really want and desire for people listening to join me on this experience, to join me on this pilgrimage and follow along and feel this land, because you can even send your energy to her and feel her energy remotely as well. Because this power place has it. It really does. So the priestess pilgrimage begins in Tel Aviv. I'm going to give you like a brief overview and then I'm going to go deep into the itinerary. So we'll begin in Tel Aviv, Israel. And the intention of this part of the journey is to really drop into deep sisterhood, to heal the sisterhood wound, to understand that we are about to embark on a really sacred journey. And it's important that we see each other as allies and as sisters and as queens. See yourselves as queens and to see each other as queens. Then we'll continue to Jerusalem, which is about 40 minutes from Tel Aviv. And there we'll have the opportunity to soak in the minerals of the Dead Sea, which Queen Cleopatra was known to use the mud of the Dead Sea on her skin as this elixir of beauty and youth. And also in Jerusalem, of course, we get to honor Jesus and the stories of Christianity and actually get to visit his tomb itself. And I want to say, if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, Christianity, no, thank you. Been there big time. I find that the religion of Christianity itself has been bastardized in many ways. And there is lots of extremism in Christianity that I do not resonate with, but it has been actually following the tantric path and learning about Mary Magdalene and her relationship to Jesus and them together as this in this sacred union, as this power couple that has healed my relationship to Christianity. So another book that I recommend, whether you are feeling called to this pilgrimage or not, is the Magdalene Manuscript. And I have others as well that I recommend, but the codes of Magdalene are going to be a big part of this journey as well. So we'll get to visit Jesus's tomb where Mary Magdalene witnessed Jesus rise from the grave. So after spending a couple of days in Jerusalem, then we'll travel on to Petra, place of power. We'll be there in ritual and in reverence, offering prayers to the world, to ourselves. We'll actually be there during a new moon, the new moon in Aries, which is the very first sign of the zodiac and is the sign of fire. So you can really feel that energy of birth, sex, and death, this Aries energy and the fire, a transformation. This is going to be a space where you'll leave guaranteed feeling inspired and overflowing with these divine downloads for immense impact in your life and with your unique soul mission. And then we'll close the journey. So we have four parts: Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Petra, and then we'll end in Magdala. Magdala is on the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus is said to have walked on water. Magdala is also the birthplace of Mary Magdalene, Magdala. So it was here that it's believed that Mary Magdalene began to have her first initiations into the mysteries of Isis, into sex magic, into sacred union. We'll have the chance to swim in the Sea of Galilee. We'll actually be staying on the Sea of Galilee, so you can wake up and go into the water. And we'll also be spending some time in the town and really connecting to that energy of the rose as well while we're there. So this is really a beautiful space to traverse these ancient portals, but also be deeply nourished with this activation and this sisterhood. And I'm really excited about it. I'm so excited about it. So this is for you. If you're listening, this is for you. If you feel this soul yearning to meet your edges, this is the trip where you're going to be expanded, where it's going to be, okay. You're ready to embody your most magnificent self and feel into the power that you have for the world. Really bringing your full priestess powers online and seeing other women in their priestess powers being evidence for each other. This is a space as well where you have that like, oh, I'm bougie, but I'm also turned on by primal. I'm turned on by being wild and messy. It's not just like the beautiful queen on her throne. It's also the deep, dark feminine that's in her birth, that's screaming and crying. It's the woman that forages and like all of it. It's all of it. This is for you if you dream of a more loving world and you're already in the energy of showing up as evidence of its possibility, and you're ready to expand into it even deeper. This is for you if you are so here for the magic, the woo and the sacred. We're going to be doing like all the witchy things. This is for you if you know you are the temple. You see your body as the sacred vessel to bring love into the world, and you are so enlivened and inspired by this cosmic creativity that you have as a woman, a womb bearer. And it's for you if you are courageous enough to traverse your darkness and embody the full range of your humanity. So to go a little bit deeper into the journey, we're going to be starting on April 3rd. That will be the day of journey, the day that you will be coming via plane or otherwise to the lands of Israel. We'll be landing in Tel Aviv by April 4th. Tel Aviv is this really youthful, energetic city. It's really interesting to feel the energy of Tel Aviv in contrast to Jerusalem. Jerusalem carries has a lot of heaviness, a lot of a lot of dark, a lot of had centuries and centuries of turmoil in a way, but Tel Aviv has this more light, artistic, creative muse. It's very muse energy, very maiden-like energy. So we'll arrive, and that first day as you arrive, we'll be staying in a gorgeous home in one of the oldest parts of Tel Aviv. And that evening, you'll have the day to kind of arrive, settle in, and then that evening we'll have an opening circle, a welcome dinner, and we'll be doing specifically a ceremony to heal the sisterhood. So again, this will be a really beautiful space to anchor in that connection to other women and feel safe. We're going to be going into some really deep portals together. So we're going to be starting off just by creating that trust within our group. The next day, we have a full day in Tel Aviv. We'll have a slow start to the day, a nice long breakfast. I'm really intentionally wanting to have a lot of spaciousness in the itinerary for rest and for really integrating the codes and allowing ourselves to acclimate to the energy of the places. When I went to Egypt, it was like, go, 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 this temple, that temple. It was so much. And I found it a little bit overwhelming. So I've built in a lot of space into this itinerary for us to meet the land day by day. So that first full day is going to be a slow start. And then every woman on the trip will also get to have a spa treatment. And this is included in the program. It's included in the price. We'll go to the hammam. You'll get ritualistically cleansed and prepared for our journey and really honored as this queen. Such a beautiful spa. It'll be the same one that I went to when I was there a few months ago. It's so gorgeous. So gorgeous. And other than that, you have the rest of the day to, you know, explore Tel Aviv, maybe take a dip in the Mediterranean Sea. There's lots of great shops and boutiques and art galleries and museums. You'll have the day to, we'll have breakfast together. Then we'll have the spa treatments kind of sprinkled throughout the day for each sister. And then the rest of the time you can use to, you know, explore what's most important and alive for you. And then we'll all come back together that night for a group dinner. And then to do a little bit of celebration out in the nightlife of Tel Aviv. The next day we will travel. We'll have a simple breakfast in the morning, and then we'll travel to Jerusalem around noonish. So you have a little bit of time in the morning as well to explore Tel Aviv. We'll settle into the new accommodations in Jerusalem by early afternoon. And then again, you'll have lots of free time to get lost in the narrow cobblestone streets of the old city. You could, you know, go to the Wailing Wall and offer a prayer. Or there are many holy churches in the area as well. There's the Muslim quarter as well. There's the Jewish quarter. There are also really lovely street markets. So you'll have that time to settle in, to rest if you need to rest, or to immediately go out and explore. But then again, we'll reconvene at dusk for a sharing circle. And we're going to be doing a moon magic workshop, a really, really powerful workshop to begin to prepare us for stepping into Petra and to also go even deeper into our connecting our energetic field and protecting as we open up into this incredible vortex. The next day, I've deemed the day of the dead. So the next day, we have a full day in Jerusalem. We'll have breakfast together, and then we'll have an early start going to the Garden Tomb of Jerusalem. The Garden Tomb of Jerusalem is this, for being a tomb, oh my God, the energy there is so light and so beautiful. It's this peaceful respite in this bustling city. I found that, you know, being in the old city of Jerusalem, where there's, you know, the Church of the Holy and the Wailing Wall, and it's like, it's so intense. There's so much. And I actually didn't feel as activated or as caressed, or it didn't totally resonate with me. Whereas the Garden Tomb of Jerusalem, which is just outside of the old city, you can literally, I walked over, it's soft. The energy there is like precious, and you really feel the Christ codes there. You really feel that energy, and it's in nature too, which, you know, really resonates with me as well. Some of the most sacred sites to me are actually the ones that are the most natural in a way. So we'll anchor our light in a ceremony of song before offering our respects and gratitude at this site of Jesus's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. We'll actually be able to go into the tomb itself. I had the blessing of watching a group of Baptists from the East Coast go into the tomb before me and my brother. And you could see each of them go in and come out in this different energy and in this deep reverence. And I thought, am I going to feel that too? Like they go to church, you know, every week. And I don't. Church to me is my pussy. Church to me is the river near my house. Church to me is the land that I buried my dog in. Like it's church to me has a different meaning. But they go to church and pray to Jesus every day. And that's not how I necessarily relate to him, to the religion. And so I thought, watching them go in and out, am I going to have that too? And wow. The air is different in there. And you can feel the intention and the love that he used his life for. I'm actually tearing up just talking about it because it was so powerful. So powerful. So you'll get to experience that. And then later that day, we will go to the Dead Sea. Really continuing this reverence of death and going to this body of water that is called the Dead Sea because of its inability to necessarily nourish life, and recognizing that the minerals and the cleansing, nourishing nature of the space itself has a life-giving quality, has an embalming quality. It has a cleansing for the birth quality. So, this will really be a day to really honor that energy of the dead. We'll be able to cover ourselves in the mud as sisters cover each other. How beautiful will that be to be able to receive that from your sisters, and then ceremoniously cleanse and baptize ourselves in the waters of the Dead Sea as well. In the Dead Sea, it has lots of little beautiful restaurants on the water as well, and you'll have the availability to get lunch or a glass of wine there too. And then we'll end our day with a sort of final supper in Israel, all together in Jerusalem, before we cross the border in the morning for a rebirth of sorts. So the next day we'll depart Jerusalem, we'll travel to the border of Jerusalem, we'll cross that border, and then we will stop at the ancient town of Madaba. Madaba is famous for its 6th century mosaic map of the Holy Land in the Greek Orthodox Church of St. George. I didn't necessarily feel super connected to the church itself, but the land I did. I felt very connected to the land there. And it's also just a very cute, sweet sort of expat spot with lots of lovely little spiritual shops where you can buy different oils and myrrh and, you know, all of the beautiful ancient, you know, potions and tools of the priestess. And then we'll continue to drive a couple more hours to actually arrive at the rugged canyons of Petra by the afternoon, and we'll have some time to settle in. And the hotel is actually walking distance to the opening to Petra. And as I mentioned, the opening is a sort of like a gorge, which mimics the birth canal in a way. It was again created because an earthquake separated the cliff into twos. But as you're going through, it's this like kind of narrow gorge walls. And then you get this glimpse of the treasury building. And something that we'll be doing that's really cool that I didn't get to do while I was there is experience Petra by night. So they have the Petra by night experience a couple of days a week. And we will be there again on April 8th. 8 is a very powerful number for me. We'll be there on April 8th. And it will be the new moon in Aries. So feeling that magic and that rebirth in the air. And at the Petra by night experience, they light up the treasury with candlelight. And you have this sort of ancient, out of this world energy of the treasury with the candlelight. And then they have live music. It's really beautiful. And if we have time that day, we also might do another little ritual before Petra by night. If not, we'll do two rituals the next day, which I will get to shortly. But yeah, we'll have that first sort of introduction to Petra. Then we'll go back to our hotel. We'll have a late dinner together. If you're into hookah, we can do hookah on the rooftop of our hotel. Again, we're going to be in the desert. And so it's this beautiful experience to enjoy the starry sky, the starry night sky without a moon. So you can see those stars just that much better. And the new moon also carries this energy of like planting seeds, setting intention. You know, like, what do you want to grow in this next moon cycle, in this next chapter of your life? The next day, the theme of the day is priestess codes. So we'll start the day with an early breakfast at the hotel. We'll re-enter Petra on foot. And on this day, we're really going in with divine love. We are going to hike to the high place of sacrifice. We are going to do a moon blood ceremony there. We are going to offer a bit of ourselves to honor and to grieve the violence, the disillusionedness, the death, and the unnecessary suffering of the human experience. What would it be like to see that, like, so much of the sacrifice that was made wasn't necessary? And there is a time and place for sacrifice. But where is that for you? And what is the line? And maybe where have you been self-sacrificing? Where have you been become the martyr? Where have you been people-pleasing? And how can we anchor in a new reality of empowerment and a new reality of intimacy with Mother Nature that creates profound healing for all? Wow. What would that be like to do that in this place where for thousands of years we've been sacrificing animals and women and young people? What if we rewrote that and actually honored that sacrifice and released the need to do it in the way that it's been done? So we'll have that little ritual, and then we'll continue and we'll have lunch, and then we'll do the second ritual, which will be at the lion trislinium, which I mentioned before. And this one is flanked by lions on the side. It has that Medusa above. And this is a place where we can actually go into this cavern in the earth, and it's just gorgeous and powerful. And we'll be doing sort of this initiation into your priestesshood, into your divine feminine gifts. And then you'll have the rest of the day for self-guided exploration. So there's lots more that Petra has to offer. There are the royal tombs. There's the church. There's a museum. There's so many other things. And so you'll have the opportunity to kind of decide what you'd like to prioritize with the rest of our time there. And then we'll meet back that evening for dinner all together and to be in the celebration of this new beginning, this rebirth. Who are you birthing into the world now? Who do you get to be? The next morning, we'll have an early departure as we return to the Rose. So we'll drive back to the border of Israel and we'll stop at Mount Nebo along the way. Mount Nebo is where Moses spent his final days and is said to have sighted the promised land in Israel. So we'll take a moment there and honor that, have some lunch, and then we'll cross the border and drive to the north of Israel, to the town of Migdal or Magdala, which is on the Sea of Galilee. And that is where Mary Magdalene is believed to have been born and raised. So we'll settle into the hotel there and we'll be able to, you'll have some spaciousness that day to go have dinner out on the town or even on the beach. As I mentioned, we'll be staying on the Sea of Galilee on the beach. So you could actually have dinner on the beach that night if you desired. And then that evening, we'll have a little evening ritual of Tantra touch to kind of recover, have a bit of a feeding ritual to anchor, to nurture, and to be in this soft, new, blooming energy. Then we have our final day together in Magdala. So we'll have a later start that day, much deserved after, you know, kind of a big couple of days in Petra. After having breakfast, we will then have the opportunity to tour the first century ruins of the Magdala Chapel. This will give us an idea of a little bit more of Mary Magdalene's early life. We'll really call her in and do a ceremony to honor her. Then we'll have lunch, and there will be some opportunities for some optional excursions, such as kayaking or town exploration, or you could just spend your day in meditation and reflection on the beach. And we'll come together again in the late afternoon for a sort of closing ceremony. And we'll be in commemoration of our journey. And then the final day, we will depart the next morning, leaving the container inspired to bring this magic into every room we walk into, really embodying the Queen Codes by the end of this experience. We'll have breakfast together that day. And then you will have the opportunity to catch a shuttle back to Tel Aviv to fly out or to spend a few more days in Tel Aviv. Or you could also stay a few extra days on the Sea of Galilee if you wanted to have a little bit of a longer landing. It's pretty easy to organize your own transport back to Tel Aviv if you were to decide to stay a bit longer. So that is the whole of it. That is the experience. I am so blessed and honored to be bringing this to you guys. There's more information on this experience if you'd like to join us. On my website, under the events tab, you'll see the Priestess Pilgrimage. I'll also make sure that it's linked in the show notes of this episode. This experience has early bird pricing, and it also has a break in pricing. If you pay in full, you'll pay less as well. And there are also opportunities to upgrade this experience. So we have the PJ Party Priestess, which is kind of the tier in which you would be sharing a twin bed or sharing a room with other women. You have the Private Priestess, where you get a room all to yourself through the duration of the journey. And then you have the VIP Priestess. And the VIP Priestess is for those that really want the royal treatment. They're the queen. Not only do they get a private room for the duration of the pilgrimage, but they'll also receive one pre-pilgrimage virtual session in the month preceding our journey and one post-pilgrimage virtual session in the month following our journey, and unlimited voice note and text support in both of those months as well. So it's kind of like having a little mini one-to-one coaching journey with me. And then while we're actually on the journey there, we will also set aside some private time just for you and I to connect in person and to do a sort of session in person together as well. So those are the different options for the experience. If you're interested in joining us for this incredible sacred journey, we would love to have you. It's going to be so magical, from the Petra by day and night to the spell work and the ritual and the spa and the baptism and the Dead Sea and Jesus's tomb and Mary Magdalene's hometown and swimming in the Sea of Galilee. Oh, it's going to be so incredible and so powerful. And I would love, love, love to see you there. Again, the dates are April 4th through the 12th of 2024. So thank you guys so much for opening yourself up to receive my experience of making love to the land and feeling land and seeing the power of its activation, I would be so honored to share this experience with you. Of course, the Priestess Pilgrimage is an incredible opportunity. I do also have another one that I've been feeling really called to is New Orleans. And actually, in a couple of weeks, I'll be hosting the Tantric Muse Retreat in New Orleans with my friend Sophia. New Orleans has this incredible dark feminine magic witch energy. And I've been wanting to host a retreat there for literally years. And we are going to be hosting it on Friday the 13th. In October in New Orleans. Nothing is a coincidence with this. And then I also have retreats here in Austin in the books as well. And I'm always traveling and doing more all over the world. And then you can also hire me for a one-on-one retreat, whether it be just with you or with a partner as a couple. I've done these in Mexico. I've done them in Joshua Tree, in LA, in Texas. And I'll be traveling to Europe and to Asia this winter, and I'm available in those places. I'm just going to put this plug here. I'm really, really calling in working with someone in Paris. Can you imagine working on self-love or your relationship to your beloved with a tantra coach in the city of love and light, which is Paris? Oh my God, so juicy. I'll definitely be doing my own rituals for myself there, but would love to share that with individuals as well. So if you're feeling called to any or all of this, please reach out to me. Thank you again for being here, for opening yourself up to the idea of sacred sexuality and the woo-woo witchiness of making love to the land. Please leave a review. Your reviews help this podcast become a little bit more relevant in search results, which means that more people are able to find this wisdom and benefit from it. So we really appreciate the reviews. Have a sexy and spiritual day, and I'll catch you next week on Talk Tantra to Me. Ta-ta.